Today, God, I want to thank you for being here, for having this beautiful day, for having the opportunity to live the life that you've given us. I want to thank you for all of our blessings, our health, and that whether we realize it or not, that you've always been there with us as we've walked this life out here on earth. Amen.
Amen, Lord. Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk about the mind of Christ, realizing what the mind of Christ looks like. What does the mind of Christ look like? We need to have a realization of what that is, because there are two lives. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the Adamic life and there's the Christ life.
Yeah.
And there's two lives. And, you know, we can choose which life we want to live. And we're going to delve into this topic of the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do we get it? What does it look like? And the answer to the first question, how do we get it, is 1 Corinthians 2:16, which is, and I have the already, but we, I added, already have the mind of Christ. And the voice translation puts it this way, but we do possess the mind of the anointed one. Mm-hmm. We possess it.
Yep.
We have it. It's
yep.
there. The only reason you don't think it's there is because you have not acknowledged that it's there. You have not, you did not ask, seek, and knock mm-hmm. for the realization that we possess that mind of Christ mm-hmm. already.
Right.
I'm gonna read in the mirror. Why don't you read it,
yeah.
Julie? 2:13, there's four verses, 2:13
okay.
to the end, okay?
Okay?
And I may stop you as you go along.
The impact of our words are not confined to the familiar wisdom of the world taught by human experience and tradition.
Okay, stop. Human experience and tradition. That is one mind that is not necessarily the mind of Christ. Tradition and, you know, not the words, what did it say at the beginning? The words we speak or something?
The impact of our words are not confined to the familiar wisdom of the world taught by human experience and tradition.
The impact of our words. Mm-hmm. If you're going to say, well, I know it says I have the mind of Christ, but I don't really have the mind of Christ. Well, guess what? You're in the wrong mind.
You're not going to have the mind of Christ because you don't think
you're
capable
in the
wrong of having
mind.
The mind of Christ, mm-hmm. right?
So go ahead.
But communicated by seamless spirit resonance, combining spirit with spirit. The word shukro suggests a spirit compatibility, joined together, fitly, compound, combine, to interpret, to compare, thus a joining of spirit with spirit.
Just read the dark.
Oh, okay. The soulish person has no capacity to comprehend the language of the Spirit of God.
Stop. The soulish person has no capacity to acknowledge, is that what it says, acknowledge?
To comprehend
to
the
comprehend
language of the Spirit of God.
Better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're going to remain in that Adamic spirit or that Adamic thought, mind, whatever, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to comprehend
right.
those things that he has brought forth in the spirit. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Spiritual things seem meaningless to them. They are incapable to discern that which can only be spiritually appreciated. Those who are spiritually awakened are immediately compatible to discern all things from a spiritual perspective.
What?
While
praise
they
Lord
themselves
there.
Are free from anyone's critical scrutiny. There is no other basis to teach from but to echo the mind of Christ. He is the mastermind personified within us.
Wow. There you go. He is the mastermind personified within us. So We have to first acknowledge that we have the mind of Christ, then we have to experience that mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. So Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind
is stayed on thee."
Yeah. Because he trusts in thee. That's the reason. You got to have trust. You say, well, I don't feel any different. Well, it's not about feelings. Mm-hmm. It's about truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
So, yeah, you may not get goosebumps, or you may not get this, that, and the other, or big, gigantic revelations and epiphanies and whatever. But you have to start confessing that you have the mind of Christ mm-hmm. to be able to experience the mind of Christ. I like that same verse in Isaiah with the voice. It says, "For those who dedicate their hearts and minds to you." Mm-hmm. In other words, whose mind is stayed upon them, it's for those who let the Christ life, it says, let this life mold it. For those who dedicate their hearts and minds to you. So you have to dedicate your hearts and your mind, your heart and your mind to him. And your heart isn't that thing thumping in your chest.
Yeah.
It's that inner man, that inner being that God put in you, breathed in you, that life that resides inside of you. You have to dedicate that life and your mind to him, and guess what? Look what you get from it. Perfect peace. Mm-hmm. What's lacking in this world today?
Yeah.
Perfect peace.
Right.
How do we get that? Well, it comes through trusting. If you believe what we're saying today, then you're trusting in his word. And if you're trusting in his word, then you will experience that word that you're talking about. And in this case, we're experiencing the mind of Christ. Okay, that word mind is purpose, imagination, device, intellectual framework. So I think sometimes Christians get off in this thing that they're so afraid to get into areas that maybe hasn't been preached from their pulpit or whatever, and of course not in Wings, but that word imagination, I think a lot of people would say, well, you know, vain imaginations. Well, that's not what we're not talking right. about vain imagination. We're talking about seeing Christ in us, seeing all those things that we're talking about here, that life that he's given you, that, you know, you have to use your mind to be able to see that. And if it's not tangible, you have to imagine it first. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? That word imagination, I think, gets a bad rap sometimes, yeah. You know?
Well, I think that the when you get into the mind of Christ, instead of saying imagination, let's break that word down and say image a nation, you know, where you can see the image of Christ's nation, of God's nation, okay?
That's good.
And I will say this, you know, when man was put forth out of the Garden of Eden, and I've studied into this many times over the years, in Genesis, when he was put forth out of the Garden of Eden, they said that there was cherubim placed with flaming sword. And, you know, we tend to think of cherubim as being angelic beings and so on and so forth. And I did a little study into that word. And the word cherubim means an imaginary figure. And what keeps people out of the garden of God, so to speak, other than their imagination, see? And their imagination functions out of the carnal mind. And we have to function out of the spiritual mind, the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We have that, and it's available to everyone if they will just acknowledge him and acknowledge that they have it, like you're saying, acknowledge that they have it. And until you acknowledge that you have it, you won't function in it. And sometimes even people out there in the world, they're functioning in it and not knowing that they're functioning in it. You know, if you listen to half of the songs out there and actually listen to the words, you know, the poetic words that they're saying, a lot of times they're talking about things that you could take that very same song and it could be a spiritual song.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
In most cases it could be.
That's true.
With just a slight variation. Yeah. And you know, but you know, that inner being of them, that creative being of them, when they do those poems and those songs and all that stuff, they don't realize it, but it's literally the Spirit of Christ coming up inside of them a lot of times. You know, Lionel Richie, he's written tons of songs, and he says a lot of times, and I know how that goes, because when God gives me poetry, it isn't that I sit down and think, geez, I'm going to write a poem. It just comes, and if you don't write it down when it comes,
it goes
as fast as it came. And I've heard Lionel Richie say, you know, which he's written some beautiful, beautiful songs. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and I've heard him say that, you know, he'd be in the shower, taking a shower or something.
Yeah, it just comes.
And a song would come to him.
Yeah.
You know, but also I heard him say one time that when he was younger, he thought about going into the ministry. You know, I don't know if he was going to be a priest or what. I'm not exactly sure. But he talked about maybe going into the ministry. And, you know, if we would just realize what's happening out there, you know, even that's John Lennon song, Imagine.
Yeah.
There's no,
yeah.
You know, it's talking about the imagination.
Right.
But even with him, you know, not really acknowledging God,
right.
You know, in that sense, some of the things that he wrote were things that actually could have been construed as being something spiritual,
mm-hmm.
with just a few word changes, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people don't realize that the mind of Christ is there inside of them.
Yes.
Because he is your very life. His, you know, there's one, like the scripture says, there's one spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's one of everything, mm-hmm. you know, and people need to quit separating themselves from God. And when they quit separating themselves from God, they'll start functioning in that mind of Christ. You know, God's not somewhere far off, way off in heaven, way beyond all the clouds and everything. As scripture says, know you not that you're the temple of God, and he dwells inside of you.
Well, first of all, you have to be open to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be open before you can even have a Christ-like mindset.
Yeah.
You have to be, like, open to even listen about it and even contemplate. A lot of people aren't. And a lot of people don't see it, can't touch it. They don't put it right. in their brain. That's right. A lot of people.
Well, see, the carnal mind, scripture says, is an enmity against God.
If you yeah,
know
it
the
is.
Things of God, it don't want to know the things of God.
Yeah.
Because if it acknowledges the things of God, it has to allow the changes to come into your life
right.
that God brings, you know. And a lot of times, it don't want to mm-hmm. allow the changes to come into
right.
their life, you know.
Well, you're always struggling with your man, like your human brain, too,
right,
your human
right.
part of you. It's
right.
a constant struggle, I think, too.
Yeah. Well, and double-minded man, like scripture tells us,
right,
is unstable
right.
in all of his ways.
Yeah.
That's where mankind is. They're double-minded all
yes.
the time. You know, they'll get little glimpses of the mind of Christ, you know, in things that they say and things that they do, and yet they'll flip over to the carnal mind, you know, and function in it. And we all do that a little bit to a certain
mm-hmm.
extent, because we go in and out.
Right.
And we're going to come to the point where we quit going out and
yeah.
we stay in.
Stay in.
Yeah.
Well, it's been ingrained in religion. Religion has ingrained in us that we be fearful
huh.
of something foreign,
yeah.
something
we
different,
don't understand,
something we don't right now understand.
Yeah.
We've been forced to, well, don't get into, you know, I mean, just like there's one segment of the Christian population that doesn't believe in spiritual gifts,
yeah.
speaking in tongues, prophecy. All those discern, spirit of discern, all those spiritual gifts. Well, they, some of those people are fearful to be around people that have, that believe in the spiritual gift.
The funny thing about it is that same person that's like that a lot of times will pick up the newspaper and read their horoscope.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They'll pick up the newspaper and they'll say they're a Sagittarius or they're this or they're that or whatever their sign supposedly is, and then they'll go and read their horoscope, you know, and yet what is that other than trying to go over into the spiritual realm? That's what you're doing.
Yeah, they're more fear. Some folks are more fearful of the spiritual things than they are of the worldly things. I mean, that doesn't make sense. But anyway, it's a choice.
Right.
You know, I like the root word of the word mind out of the Strong's. It says to mold into a form. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing? Your mind is being molded into a form. Is it in the form of Christ or is it a form of the world? You know, so you have a choice. You know, you can let this life, this temporal life, mold us into who we are, or let the Christ life define who we are. You know, you have that choice. And the great example of both is the parable of the sower in Mark 4:19. It says, but the things of this life, the worries, this is the Voice translation, but the things of this life, the worries, the drive for more and more. Man, is that our society at this point? I mean, you know, everybody's worried about something, seems like. Everybody's striving for more and more. You got, you know, you got people just working their finger to the bone so they can buy more stuff.
More toys, we've got.
You know. So the worries, you have a choice. You can live this life, you can worry, you can drive for more and more. The desire for other things, those things cluster around clothes and choke the life out of God, the life of God out of them until they cannot produce. So that's that poet, the parable of the sower. But you look at verse 20, and it says, but those last seeds, those sown into good soil, those people hear the word, they accept it, they meditate on it, they act on it, and bear fruit. A crop 30, 60, or 100 times larger than the farmer dropped to the earth. So there breaks it right down. You can live this natural, carnal, Adamic life, or you can live the Christ life. And I can tell you, whenever I fall into that Adamic, carnal, natural life, I don't have the peace that we talked about earlier. I don't have the joy that we talked about earlier. I don't, you know, I'm just so fortunate and blessed. God has blessed us so much that, you know, other than travel, there's nothing that Julie and I are striving to get. Oh, we got to get this new car. I've got a 10-year-old car and she has a 5-year-old car. I don't need a new car. I don't want a new car. And only God can do that to a person. I was every 2 or 3 years, I'd have a brand new shiny car in the driveway. I mean, that was me back then. Me now is, hey, I'm thankful for what I have. I'm thankful to have a good 10-year-old car that runs well and whatever. I'm thankful for that. I don't need to take, you know, money out of my savings account to buy a brand new car. I don't need to buy a bigger house. I don't, you know, and man, it's that the Bible is so true when it says that peace.
But doesn't it, come where does upon it say you. You're supposed to be content where you are?
Yeah, in whatever state you're in, right. You're supposed to be content.
Right. Paul said he learned that.
Yeah.
You have to learn that.
You do.
It's a learning process.
I had to learn.
It's a learning process. Mm-hmm. I've learned that in whatsoever state I'm in there with to be content, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
He learned how to abound and he learned how to be abased, you know.
Yeah. I mean, back in the old days, I've been with the Lord 30, so I've been with the Lord all my life and before, but I've been awoken to the fact that I need to be walking with him for the last 33 or so years. Mm-hmm. Before that, yeah, man, I had a list this long of stuff that I wanted to buy. And I'm telling you, there's no peace in that at all.
Because you're going to keep finding something else to buy.
You know, we know people that you know, are they've lost a loved one, or they're just miserable. They're not happy,
right.
And they try to fill the void where only Jesus can fill that void. And they try to fill that with stuff, mm-hmm. You know, new cars and new toys,
a bunch of trips too.
You know, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, mm-hmm. It'll never that Jesus. Can only fill that one spot in your soul or, you know, inside of you. There's only one thing that can fill it.
Right.
You can buy all the cars and all the houses and take exotic vacation. It's never going to fill it, because when you come back, you're going to say, wow, that really didn't help that much.
Well, everything that you get new eventually gets old.
It's
going
to have to be
replaced. And then you want another new
one.
It
falls apart. Yeah. And it gets bad eventually.
So anyway, Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed, this is in the Passion, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. No, no, no.
Yeah, you're right.
No, this is in the
that's a King James.
King James, and then I've got the Passion underneath it. King James says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Passion says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Man. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Mm-hmm. Guess what? That's the mind of Christ. That is the mind of Christ. Getting that by the Spirit, totally reformed. Mm-hmm. If you're reforming something, it's back to that definition of mind. A definition of mind, the root word was to mold into a form. Mm-hmm. So guess what? God will mold you into the right form by reforming. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to reform something, it's got a different form, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in the machine shop or whatever and you haven't a different blueprint that says, hey, we're going to reform this part, it's a different part. Mm-hmm. Just like our life and our mind are different from the carnal to the Christ life and mind.
You know, Rich, I like that word in the King James of transform,
mm-hmm.
But really that word is the word metamorpho.
Yeah.
And it's where the word metamorphosis comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And metamorphosis is something when something is one in one state and it changes into another state. But when it changes into another state, it still has the ability to go back and forth.
Right.
And actually, when you come to realize that Scripture tells us we're in this world,
but
we're not of it.
Question.
We're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. And that's seated with him in thought and everything else. Jesus was standing right in front of them one time. Brother Eddie used to quote this scripture a lot, where Jesus said, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And he was standing right there in front of them. Well, what's he talking about? Well, he had the fullness of the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. He was in the heavenly realms with his Father, even though he's standing right there.
Right.
You know, and when we come to realize that you know, like I say, we're in this world, but we're not of it. So we actually have become that two-dimensional creature, you know. We can function in the natural realm, but we should be functioning in the natural realm with the mind of God. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, then we're gonna show mercy instead of judgment. We're gonna be kind to people instead of harsh to them. We're gonna do things for people even when they don't deserve for us to do things for them. And we're gonna start fulfilling the laws of love, because that's what the mind of Christ will cause you to do. It'll cause you to function in the law of love, you know.
So inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think.
That's good.
That's repent.
Yeah.
That's the real definition of repenting.
Changing
You're
mind.
Changing from yeah. this to this, and you've changed your mind to say, ooh, okay, guess what? By changing my mind, by changing how I think, the scripture goes on to say, this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, He makes it real easy, doesn't He? I mean, you can choose to stay in that rat race and keep, you know, doing whatever you're doing, or you can choose that heavenly place and be seated with Him in heavenly places where you are being transformed, metamorphosized, into, molded into what He wants you to be. Mm-hmm. And He knows a lot better than we do. I don't care how intelligent someone is or how perceptive someone is. God knows a lot more than you do, and always will, until we become one with Him completely, and then we're all one. Okay, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I forget which one of the translations I looked at says, let His mindset become your motivation. Let His mindset become your motivation. That word let is to have an understanding, to be wise, to be of the same mind, to interest oneself in. You know, he has to put that unction in, but I remember 30-some years ago when I first got really excited about Jesus and His word and whatever. Man, I had a lot of interest in that, being, you know, wanting to know more about Him, wanting to know more about His word. I mean, I read the Bible cover to cover twice. A lot of it I didn't understand. Most of it probably just went by because it's just so much, especially, you know, when you get to the genealogies. I mean, I was like, why is this in here? But anyway, I had an interest, and He put that interest in there because, I mean, let's face it, I'd been living my life up to 30 years old or whatever, and I wasn't interested in the things of God up until that point, and then I became interested. And, you know, so that's letting this mind be in you. He wanted to come in. He was already in, but He wanted to come in a way that I would receive Him and be able to experience Him in a way that I had never experienced Him before. So I like this. How we think will empower us to discern God's will. Man, what a powerful statement. Don't you want to discern God's will? I mean, you know, I mean, we talk many times about good, acceptable, and perfect will. I don't want to concentrate on this. I just want to concentrate on the concept of thinking the way Christ thinks, having that Christ-like mind that empowers us to discern God's will so that we can have the best life possible. And that, we, you know, God sees that growth in us. And, you know, I mean, there's no question that he thinks we're perfect. He says we're perfect. Be perfect as I am perfect. But anyway, so I like that word, let this mind be in you, to have an understanding, to be wise, to be of the same mind. That's what the word let means. And I think that's a powerful, powerful definition of that word. Little tiny three-letter word lays it all out big time.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go for a few more minutes here. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the two minds. You got the mortal mind and you got the Christ mind. And I think sometimes you understand more of one thing when you look at the other thing. And so we're going to look at the other thing for a second. It says, error consciousness in unregenerated man, or man composed of ungodlike thoughts. That's the other mind. It is the opposite of the Christ mind, which is the perfect mind of God in man. Mortal mind gathers its information through the senses. Boy, isn't that true?
It's true.
I mean, think about that. You know, oh man, that car, did you see? Julie and I were down at Siesta Key, and she talks about this all the time. And that is, we saw this Lamborghini
SUV.
I mean, if you like cars, you would have had to take a second look at this thing. I mean, it was yellow with big black wheels. I mean, but that's your senses overriding, your natural senses overriding your spiritual senses.
Did you see it at Armand Square?
Yeah, no, we saw it actually in Siesta Key, right in downtown Siesta Key.
Where the restaurants are.
Armand Circle.
Yeah,
I've seen Maseratis.
Yeah,
I've seen Bentleys,
Rolls
Royces,
yeah,
Austin Martins. I mean, Lambos. I mean, we've seen it all down
Those
there.
Those people that go there are very, very rich. But if you was to sit down and talk to a lot of those people, they're not no more happier than you are.
No.
Probably less.
Probably less.
Yeah.
I can't find anybody that's happier than me. I'm as happy as a person could be right now in my life. Okay. Mortal mind gathers its information through the senses. It judges by appearances. Whoa.
That's how you size everything.
Well, is that politics? Is that everything in this world today? And I love this. It judges by appearances, which are often false judgments. Man must renounce this false state of mind if he is to become one with God. Mortal mind breeds sin, poverty, sickness, and death. And I'm telling you, I believe that statement is...
Yeah.
I believe if you're not... I don't know. Jesus was never sick. Does it ever say anywhere in the Bible that he had a sniffle? Maybe he did, but I don't believe he was ever sick. I mean, that's just my own interpretation of what I've read. I don't believe Jesus was ever sick. Why? He had the mind of Christ. It says he gave his life willingly. Pilate thought he was taking his life. Well, he told Pilate, no, you're not. I gave my life with joy. So I believe there's a lot of truth to that statement where it says the mortal mind breeds sin, poverty, sickness. If you're going to tell yourself, I get sick every winter, and you're going to speak that out, I'm not saying you'll be sick every winter, but there's a darn good chance you will be sick every winter. I mean, I've heard people say it. And you wouldn't say it if there hasn't been some history there, you know?
Right.
So, you got the conscious mind, you got the subconscious mind. We've heard about that. And we're going to talk just a second on the super conscious mind called the Lord, the mind of Christ. The superconscious mind transcends both the conscious and the subconscious phases of the mind. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, where does that come into play? How can I give an illustration of that, you know? And the best way to give an illustration is just, Oscar knows, anybody that's preached here and taught here, you know, you sit down and you could think God gives you a message and whatever, and you sit there and you see what was put on paper or what you say on tape or whatever, and you go, that was God. That was not something that I thought up on my own. That was God, and he was moving through me. I was moving, living, and moving, and having my being in him. And that's probably the best example I can give you, you know, when it comes to that super conscious mind, which is the mind of Christ. The harmonious working together of these three seemingly separate minds is necessary to bring forth the latent of a quality or state existing but not yet developed in or manifested, hidden or concealed possibilities of man. What you had said before, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. We still have to deal with the conscious and unconscious, but everything working together, if you want to say it this way, the superconscious mind is the boss. The conscious and subconscious mind submits to the mind of Christ. And that's the best way I could think about that. The conscious mind involves all things that you are currently aware of and thinking about. You're aware, see, now if we're aware of and thinking about Christ, then it's submitting to that superconscious mind of Christ. So that's what we have to do, and I think that's part of this let this mind be in you. You know, to have that same mind, to have that understanding of who Jesus is and who the Christ is. So the function of your subconscious mind is to store and retrieve data. Your subconscious mind makes everything you say and do fit a pattern consistent with your self-concept. So what is your self-concept? Well, sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative. Hopefully you eliminate the negative and you watch the words you speak. You know, I put down as a negative self-concept is, I'm a failure. I'm not very smart. I can't do this. I don't have confidence. I'm not good in group settings. I'm not very sociable. Strongholds, and these are strongholds, will prevent the truth from coming out. A lie that contradicts the power of God. We got to get that, I'll say the word, crap out of our minds. Mm-hmm. And we got to quit confessing. We're not going to, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're not going to confess something if it's not there. So let's get it out. Let's take out the garbage and get rid of all that negative self-talk and start saying this, the positive side. I am more than a conqueror. Well, you may not feel more than a conqueror. You may feel defeated and beat up and kicked to the side and whatever. Well, guess what? Speaking to those things that aren't as though they were, guess what? I'm more than a conqueror. You got to say those things. Get the negativity, get that stuff out of your system, so that you start confessing things that are going to glorify your Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. I am a son of God. I'm not going to be a son of God. I am a son of God. Notice the words, I am. When we see him as he is, we will be like him. And guess what? He is the great I am.
That's right.
Well, if he's the great I am, what are we? Well, we talk about the two words I am. They're powerful, powerful words. What's Christ say when he uses that word I am? He says, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. I am the Almighty God. Well, Jesus was the Son. Well, no, he was also the everlasting Father, if you're going to look at Isaiah and right. pull that out. But he says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, now, what do we say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Mm-hmm. Praise God for that. I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I am holy. I don't feel holy sometimes. Well, get that thought out of your mind. Get it. Get the garbage out. Get it out. Quit thinking with your carnal mind, with your Adamic thoughts. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am a joint heir with Christ. Man, you know, we got to start confessing the right things. And it's not all about name it and claim it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying kick out the Adam and accept the Jesus. And if Adam's completely gone, there's nothing left but Jesus. Change of mind, repent. A change of mind is the very first requisite in the new life of Christ. Do we want to go ahead and stop there? I only have a little bit left. A change of mind or repent is the very first requisite. That's why people say, even in the churches out there that have you come forward and you say a prayer and whatever, they go, repent. Well, repent has, you know, in the church has different definitions, but the very simple way of saying it is I'm changing my mind. I'm not going to live that life in the natural anymore, and in the Adamic life, I'm going to live the Christ life. And so a change of mind is the very first requisite of a new life in Christ. We go into this new and higher state of consciousness as we would go into another country. It's a whole change. If you're going from, we went from Italy to Germany. Well, they're right next to each other. They're close. But man, the cultures, it was a whole different culture, a whole different atmosphere. It was a whole different architecture. I mean, it was so different. But they were real close to each other. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of heaven is right here in our midst and will become tangible reality to us when we have developed the faculties necessary to comprehend it. We've got to comprehend it. And that takes time. You want to get to know the Lord in an intimate way and you will comprehend it. 2 Timothy 1 in the Amplified says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that can result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. So how do you get the mind of Christ through all the things we've discussed here today? I mean, there's more, but that this is just a little snapshot of, you know, if you want that well-balanced mind, that mind of self-control and calm, not flying off the handle at every little thing that doesn't go your way, or if you feel the fear coming on you, or you don't feel strong enough to talk to someone, if the Lord puts on your heart, you know, I want you to talk to this person. Well, I don't know, Lord, I'm a little timid, you know. Then go inside, go within and say, Lord, you said that I don't have, you did not give me that spirit of fear, cowardice, and timidity, so I don't want it.
Yeah.
It's got to go. It's got to go. I want to live in a realm of power, love, and sound judgment where there's a calm, well-balanced mind of self-control.
Yeah. You know, Rich, that word, I am, that's a present tense now word.
It sure is.
It's right now. When somebody says, I am, that meant it's right now. It's not in the future. It's not in the past. It's right now. You know, and, you know, I love those things that you said up there, all those things that you quoted, that we are, or I am, you know, because those are all things that God said about you.
Right.
See? And you know, it's like in the story in the Old Testament of Gideon. You know, Gideon's in the wine press, and the angel of the Lord appears unto him and says, oh, hail, oh, mighty man of valor. Well, what was he saying? He was speaking into him what he is as far as God was concerned, right. Not what he is in the natural.
Right.
And what did he become? He became that mighty man of valor.
Exactly.
Because he moved
said.
Right into what God had spoke about him.
Yep.
Because he believed what God had said. And it took a little bit of working on him to get him to believe it, but he did believe it.
Yes, he did.
And because he did that, there was a great victory won in the land. And you know, when we come to the place where we start truly believing what God says about us, that and it's I am, it's not in the future, it's right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am able to do whatever God says, you know. When we start doing that, our lives are going to begin to change.
Change your life drastically.
And that's where that mindset will change.
All that negativity sure. will go, has to go. God will push it all out because yeah. when you get the mind of Christ,
yeah.
you don't want anything but the mind of Christ. All that other garbage has to go because right. it's negative. It's not going to edify you or the Lord.
Well, and as long as we keep beating ourselves down, you know, we're not going to move into the positive area. And we mm-hmm. have to start saying, I'm not what my situation and circumstances say I am, but it's what God says I am.
Right.
You know? Right.
I am what
your
God
situation
says I
and
am.
Circumstances is going to say something different a lot of the time, you
yeah.
know.
Well, you just have to persevere and try to overcome that.
Well, you just have to begin to claim what God says
right.
and stand on His word.
Yeah.
And if you stand on His word, you're standing on the rock.
The rock, solid
the eternal rock.
Rock. Yeah.
You know.
I love that song we used to sing, I am what God says
yes.
I am.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's a good song.
I am what
that's
God says I am.
Yeah.
More than a conqueror. Yeah.
To Him who loved me, I am what God yeah. says. Yeah, that's a great song.
It is a great song, yeah.
Okay, brother, you want to end in prayer?
Sure. Father, we thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And I just ask you to just let a special anointing go out on this word and let it just break yokes in people's lives. Just open up the mind of Christ. Open the eyes of the people who hear this message out on the internet. Let them begin to see the truth of and the reality of your word.
Yes.
And Father, we just thank you. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. For you alone are worthy. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.